What's good and welcome to the Hockey Mailbag, the first sports podcast run by you, the listeners. I'm your host, Brandon Rewicki, and each episode follows a simple format. You send me whatever hockey-related questions are on your mind, and I provide the answers. If you want to be a part of the podcast, just send your questions to hockeymailbag@gmail.com or to me on Twitter at Brandon_Rewicki. All right, all right. Jam-packed show here, as you might imagine. We are just hours away from the NHL trade deadline. My favorite time of year, so no time to waste. Let's get right into it. By the way, we are recording this Wednesday, March 5th. It's around 5 p.m. Eastern time, so who knows what happens from now and whenever you're listening to this, but at least this way, we can kind of timestamp this bad boy. So if you think I'm an idiot for something I say, I mean, it doesn't explain all of it, but it can be at least a partial explainer why you might think I'm an idiot there. So I think we're going to be pretty recent on all of this, but if something sounds out of whack, that's the reason why. But that's also the bed we lie in when it comes to trade deadline talk. It doesn't stay up to date for too long. So that's why we got to get right into the action. And we'll do so here. You guys brought it big time. Tons of questions, tons of trade proposals, most of them awful, which I actually like better than bad ones or good ones, to be honest. So plenty of action here. We'll get into it right now. The question master himself, Tyson Rewicki, is back for this week's episode. I needed him because, like I said, you guys brought it in a big, big way here. So let's dive right on in, Tyson. First question. Who do we got? What do we got? Let's get into it.
The first question we got is from Kiefer. This is an interesting one because it kind of, the time of this recording, it kind of already happened, but a perfect trade match for you.
Yes. Well, yeah, like you said there, I saw this one come in. Thanks for the question, Kiefer. And I thought I had a pretty damn good answer to this. And I was close, actually, which makes this so much harder. But my perfect trade match, Kiefer, actually was Tampa Bay and Seattle putting together a deal for Yanni Gord and Brandon Tanev. I didn't have the exact, like, it was some combination of picks and all that stuff, but I was like, oh man, basically Tampa can try to recreate their third line that they had back in the day with Gord. What was it? Gord, Goudreau, and Coleman.
Yeah.
You basically get like most of the way there with Tan. I thought Tanev would have been a great fit, but ultimately Tampa Bay almost one-ups everybody there. And it's Oliver Bjorkstrand and Yanni Gord going over to the Lightning. So, I mean, I might like that even better, to be honest with you. You're kind of like, we got Gord and Coleman figured out. Now we got to find a Goudreau. But at least that's a little bit easier than trying to find somebody who can, you know, score at like a 20-30 goal pace at a relatively reasonable contract. So I was close. I almost had a Kiefer, but this is about as good as it gets for me. You know, I think this is an ideal fit for both clubs there. Seattle gets some assets to come in. Tampa Bay recreates the third line that they need to going into the what sets up to be quite the gauntlet in the Atlantic Division. I know you didn't ask this, Kiefer, but I'll just go out there and say it, even though it's a bit of a bold take. I think Tampa's my front runner in the East now. I think I'm putting them number one in my power rankings to go all the way, which is also funny because it might be Florida-Tampa, round one. And the Lightning could very well be out in five games again. So we'll see what happens there, but I do like the move from the Lightning there. Thanks for the question, Kiefer. Next up, who do we got?
Next up, we got Craig, and Craig's asking about one of the top trade assets, or maybe not top trade assets anymore after what he's been through, but he's suggesting a couple Elias Pettersson packages. So you want me to read the first couple packages, or do you want me to go one by one?
Let's go one by one.
Okay, so first trade package is simple. Dylan Cousins and Bowen Byram for Elias Pettersson.
I think you have to jump all over that if you're Vancouver, no? Ah, man, that might have been one that would have been discussed. Like, I wonder, that might have been like back a month or two ago when it was first being brought up, and it was like, ooh, we can get Pettersson. Teams are like, let's go after this. Now, I wonder how many people are like, that was yesterday's trade. Today's trade looks much, much different to that. I think if you're Vancouver, I would be all over it. I don't know if Buffalo would be as interested in entangling with that one. Honestly, I just, you can go through the rest of the proposals here. I don't know if I'm giving up major assets for Pettersson at this point. Like, and I would never say that about a number one center being available, but like, it's been a long enough time now. I don't know if he's that guy. But sorry, what was the name and what were the other teams that he mentioned?
This is Craig.
Craig.
So next up, we got Philly for York, Tippett, and Jet Luchanko. First round pick last year.
Would that get it done? I think that would intrigue Vancouver. I mean, the Buffalo one is certainly better. I think there'd have to be additional assets involved there for Vancouver to jump on that. But that would kind of whet the appetite a little bit. You said Chicago?
Yeah, there is the Chicago's in there as well. There's not really trade packages, but what about the possibility of Pettersson going to Chicago, Nashville, and Utah?
Ooh, Utah. Ooh, Craig. I kind of like Utah as a wild card being thrown in there. I mean, yeah, it's tough to say. I mean, Chicago, what does Chicago have to offer, really, other than just picks and prospects at that point?
The first rounder this year?
Okay, well. I might have to wait to see where that one lands before I make a decision on that. I don't know if it's a good spot for him to go to Chicago. Nashville's got a ton of picks and a high one this year as well. I wouldn't mind seeing him go to Utah. A little bit of excitement, maybe rejig his game, find the passion again. But I think out of the ones that are mentioned there, Buffalo certainly is the most enticing one from a Canucks perspective. I just don't think it's on the table anymore.
I honestly just wonder, though, like, are these teams going to want to give up those packages for Pettersson?
Yeah, I'm with you. I 100%. I don't think we're going to see anything of that magnitude. I'll be shocked if it is, at least. But thanks for the question there, Craig. Although, keep it to one next time. just kidding. But who do we got next? I know we got a lot to get to in a short amount of time, so we're going to keep the pace going.
We got the Quackmaster. I just want to revel in that name for
a minute. Yeah, that was the right move, is just let it breathe for a sec.
But the Quackmaster asks, what is Trevor Zegras's value?
Man, kind of the forgotten name in all this. Like, I kind of forgot he's been injured. He's been ineffective. It's almost like he's fallen off the map completely. His value. I think if a team offered Anaheim a first, they would take it for Trevor Zegras. I don't know or think there's a team out there willing to do that. So does that make him like a second round pick type of a value? Probably. But if you're Anaheim, like, why? Like, it's such a disappointing situation. Like, Anaheim's such a mess, right? Like, I mean, Verbeek. You look at the moves he made with the Trouba and the fact that they're not retaining any salary or getting any picks back in the Husso and the Trouba trade. Like, I mean, the team itself is just not taking the step, although they've been a little more competitive, right? Like, they're not, I don't know. They're not a total mess like Buffalo is, but I still think it's kind of messy. And I just don't know if Greg Cronin's the right coach, if he's pushing the right buttons out there with the Ducks right now. But, like, what do you do if you're Anaheim? He stays. He doesn't perform like he used to. You trade him. You move him for basically nothing. I don't know what the right answer is, but I feel pretty confident that if somebody stepped up to the plate and was like, first rounder, regardless of where it is for Trevor Zegras, let us know. Anaheim's like, yeah, we're just going to do it, and we got to move on here. But I've said it before. I'm on the Zegras hype train still. Like, I would look at him as a pretty interesting reclamation project. And I'll be completely candid as well. I think he would be a sneaky good add for a contending team right now. I just think you put that guy in a competitive atmosphere, in a locker room, in an organization that is well-structured, you get a lot out of him, and maybe just coach him. That's the other, coach him a little bit. You got to help some of these guys out. I think that would be a sneaky little move, although I don't really anticipate him going anywhere by the trade deadline. So great question. Great handle, Quackmaster, but probably not the answer that Ducks fans were necessarily hoping for.
Well, next up, we got Willie. And Willie says, how is Scott Laughton being treated like he's the next Butch Goring of trade deadline additions?
Oh, Willie's an old school guy, I'm guessing. I wonder how many, whatever generation we're on right now, Gen Z, Gen X, I wonder how many people are aware of the Butch Goring glory trade. Maybe the first and the godfather of excellent deadline additions. I mean, we'll see if and what he gets moved for here. I completely agree, though, Willie, that I'm at a bit of a loss. And hey, I mean, full transparency, I'm a Flyers fan. But at a bit of a loss as to why the price tag is just so massive for Scott Laughton. Because this is what he is. I mean, then we can talk about, you know, what the package might be like or should be like to get him. But you're talking about a versatile forward who can play down the middle or on the wing, best suited, I think at this point, for a third or a fourth line, like either a good third liner or he turbocharges your fourth line. He can kill penalties. He can play on the wing, down the middle. And he's an absolute beauty, like a tremendous intangible piece there, right? So in all reality, maybe you want to call him a plus bottom six piece. Like even a first rounder to me seems like if I'm the team acquiring him would be pretty. I know you're getting him for multiple runs, but it's like, man, really? And then you're talking about multiple pieces being involved here. I don't really see it. I'm kind of in agreement with you there where it's like, it just feels like the value to the player, there's a bit of lost in translation for me. But the crazy part is it seems like Philly's holding tight on this, right? Like Danny Briere's, this is my price. If you don't meet it, that's fine. If you do, we got ourselves a deal. And it kind of makes it an intriguing discussion here as we get closer and closer to the actual deadline day. But I just think every year, you know, year or two, there's a couple guys that get moved and everybody's like, I just don't get where the value comes from. And I don't really have a great answer for you. Like Ben Chiarot gets a first round pick a few years back. Paul Gostad, like a first round pick, like that, and that's where it's tough to do value too, because it's like, well, Paul Gostad got a first round pick. He was a forever fourth liner, right? And yet teams, for some reason, they'll just get so, maybe they just kind of lose the forest for the trees when they get this close to the playoffs and they just want a guy that they think can fit a specific role with their team. I don't know. I don't really know. But I will say this, like he would be a legitimate contributor to the Leafs or to the Devils or wherever he does potentially end up going. So it's not like you're trading for a guy that's going to hurt the team in a sense, like I thought Chiarot did, where he's dragging down the partner he's with. It's just, I don't think it's worth a first, let alone a first plus, which seems to be the situation according to the insiders here. So thanks for the question, Willie. Thanks for the trip down memory lane as well with Butch Goring. beauty as a player, beauty as a broadcaster, and top five helmet of all time. If you don't know what I'm talking about, give it a Google, and you will agree that top five is probably not giving him enough credit there. But appreciate it, Willie. Let's move on. Who's up next, Tice?
Yeah, next up we got Joel. And Joel's asking about the Columbus Blue Jackets. And he says, I know it's a seller's market, but the Blue Jackets can't trade Provorov at this point, right?
Right. you're right. They just can't. Yeah. I mean, look, I don't know what the models say as far as the percentage, but like, I mean, it's probably what 50-50 right now for Columbus to get in, maybe a little higher.
Yeah. Probably a little bit higher, honestly.
Yeah. Okay. So you're basically, the question is, do you want a 50-50 chance at the playoffs or a first round pick, maybe an additional asset on top of it? I'm chasing the I'm chasing the playoffs if I'm Columbus here. I know every young / rebuilding team could use more picks and things like that, but also at some point, don't you have enough? Like if you're Columbus, like you have enough young guys, high end talent there, that wouldn't you like to see them even if it is just for a round, get 5 or 6 games of experience. And how valuable is that to a team where you can give the Marchenkos, right? You can give, I know Orensky's played before, but the Kent Johnsons, the Sillingers, you go up and down the lineup there. Like, to give those players kind of a wide-eye view of, oh, bleep, this is the level I have to get to? Like, there's a lot of value in that as well here. On top of it, too, like, I mean, you can sign Provorov if you're Columbus, right? Like, not trading him doesn't mean he's out the door. I don't know what the likelihood is there, but he's kind of refound his game a little bit. I think he's slotted more appropriately on the depth chart, right behind Zach Werenski, where he's not the guy anymore. I think that's pretty clear. But I don't know. I think this is just one of those special seasons, if you're the Blue Jackets, right, who have dealt beyond admirably in the face of great tragedy at the start of the year to put themselves in this spot. It's just like it's the vibes ride, man. Let it roll. Let it roll and see what happens. And once you get in, maybe they can make a bit of noise here. But yeah, I'm with you. I'm not looking to move Provorov. If he likes it and he's willing to sign at a decent number, I'd even entertain him coming back. Even though they do have some pretty good talent on the back end coming in there sometime soon. But I don't think it's a discussion anymore. I think it's playoffs or bust, and let's make sure it's playoffs. And I think everybody is on board with cheering on the Jackets train to get them into one of the wild card spots and see what happens after that. But thanks for the question there. Joel, it was Joel, right?
Yeah.
Thanks, Joel. Sorry about that. Thank you. Next up, I think we got a few more to get to. This is kind of like playoff pace too, Tyson, right? Like right? This isn't just your Wednesday nighter in San Jose. Like, this is, we're basically kicking off the first round here, going toe-to-toe until we can't breathe. So I'm liking where, you know, at least frenetically, we're in a good spot right now.
Oh, you're getting questions in deep and you're laying the body on them. That's what it's all about.
Love laying the body. All right, let's keep it going.
This one, actually, you know, with this question too, I'm kind of curious about it because there's a couple Brocks on the trade market, and this comes from Brock. But this question just says, which GM do you trust the least heading into the NHL trade deadline?
Okay, so it's so Brock is asking, but it's not about other Brocks.
No, but it could be one of the other Brocks, maybe trying to get a pulse on the league. I don't know.
Okay, well, pretzel brain right now. Yeah, I don't like that. GM I would least trust?
Yes.
Oh, well, I mean, that's a no-brainer. It's Kevin Adams in Buffalo. Although you can trust him to do nothing, but he's not going to improve the team, right? Like, we love the mix we have in Buffalo as we careen off the cliff to our 14th straight playoff miss or whatever it is right now. So, I mean, there's that. I don't think that's the answer Brock is necessarily looking for. I mean, do you want me to say Lou? Is that kind of the deal here?
Hey, it's whoever you deem is most acceptable here.
Lou would be near the bottom of the list. I mean, really, it's mostly GMs in self-preservation mode. And so it's like, if you're asking me, do you trust Lou to do what's right at the deadline, which would, I, in my opinion, be to try to reload and get assets for some of these guys? I think he's going to. I don't think he's not going to. So maybe he's not the right answer there, because I do think he's going to take a realistic look at the situation. He'll move Brock Nelson for a first.
What about Jimmy Rutherford? I know he's not the GM technically, but...
he must be going through 3 or 4 dress shirts a day, just like trying, sweating through his clothes, avoiding grabbing the phone and being like, Patterson for Dylan Cousins, let's make it happen. I don't even know if it's Vancouver necessarily either, though. I wonder, maybe Stan Bowman. The reason I say that, I just don't know if they're going to make a move for a goalie. And I don't think Edmonton wins with Stuart Skinner in net. That might be the one where I'm kind of like, I don't know if I put my trust in them doing the right thing. So I might lean a little bit towards that there. The other one, actually, and maybe this is the right answer, is probably Chris Drury. Because Chris Drury is just solely in, I need to keep my job for another year. And the only way for us to do that is by getting more talent to come in. And I don't know if that team is worth fighting for at this point. So I guess I'll go with Drury and a slight, I will give a slight nod of approval to Lou to do the right thing. And I think they're going to, I think they'll get a nice little return for Brock Nelson there. So appreciate the question there, Brock. But I mean, it's someone in New York. Someone in New York is going to screw this up in the state, in the New York state and surrounding area. I feel pretty good about, but I don't think Lou's going to be the guy. I think he'll come up with a nice little return for Islanders fans there. But thanks for the question. A few more to go, I believe, still. So let's keep this baby humming. Who's up next?
Next up, we got Owen. And Owen's asking about the New Jersey Devils. And the question is, how are the Devils going to manage the trade deadline now with, I mean, now that we know that Jack Hughes is out for the season and postseason too, he won't be back till September. And Dougie Hamilton suffered an apparent injury in the game against Dallas. So without those two guys, how do they manage the trade deadline?
Well, this is interesting. And thanks for the question, Owen, because I did not know that about Jack Hughes.
The Jack Hughes stuff is very recent. That was like...
Yeah. Okay, well, so everybody listening knows about this now. I'm finding out about this for the first time. Information that would have been useful to me 10 minutes ago. How do you... Oh, man. How do you play the deadline now? I mean, it sucks, but you're not winning the Stanley Cup without Jack Hughes. So... Like, I don't think I'm banging down the door to try to bring in... Like, you're not going to find... For example, Brock Nelson coming in isn't going to replace Jack Hughes. So, like, you're going to give up a first just to take an ill-fated run at the cup at this point? That is about as bad of a break, no pun intended, as it can possibly get. I think you basically just stand pat at this point. Maybe you make, like, some minor additions, but... That sucks. Life sucks sometimes. Like that. I don't have some in-depth breakdown of that situation, right? Like, it's just like, I just don't think you can give up big time assets for sure for any pending UFAs. Maybe if a guy with term is available, you look at it and it's like, you know, we get it for this year at least, and then moving forward, but that's back to back years where it's just brutal luck on the injury front for the Devils there. But I think it ruins their season. Sorry. that's a bummer. there is no positivity in that whatsoever. But there's guys on certain teams where if they get hurt, the team's done. I know there's a lot of talent in New Jersey. Don't get me wrong. But the Devils aren't going through four rounds without Jack Hughes. So, sucks.
Does. Yeah. Less than ideal.
Yeah, a very well described, a good description of the situation there, Tyson. This is less than ideal in Jersey land. But I that's where you wish like injuries were turned off, like it was a game of Chell. You know what I mean? Like it's just, but it sucks. Like it's kind of a fluke freak play. He gets like he just falls awkwardly into the boards, and then I mean like. There's a chance of redemption after a rough Four Nations for Hughes. Like, the Devils can make a run maybe after a great offseason for them. And it's basically just over now, right? So I hate that. All right,
I mean,
let's move on.
It is better than making a bunch of moves and moving out a bunch of assets and then he gets hurt.
That is some bad juju right there.
Well, it can't happen now. So.
No, I'm just saying, like, for other teams, like... That almost makes me not want to do a trade if I'm a contending team. It's like, right, to give up all those assets. Like, oh, no. Like, if you're Colorado, like, well, let's not name names or teams. But that's an excellent point that at least if it's going to happen before as opposed to after. But thanks for the bleak, depressing question and answer there, Owen. Let's try to hopefully lighten up the mood as we head into the stretch run here. A few more questions left, Tice?
Yeah, two more. And this next one comes from Noah. And Noah's question is, how come it seems like the proposed trade details coming from other teams are so much higher? Like, it's so much more of a seller's market this year compared to years past. So why is that?
That's a great question. I mean, as usual, and look, I am no economical mastermind. I failed stats twice in college. Like, so don't take anything I say as like some gospel on, you know, economic relations and things like that. But it really comes down to, at its most basic core, how many buyers and sellers there are and supply and demand, right? Like that's pretty much it as to what determines the prices. And then there's some, you know, like if there's high end assets available and things like that. But I just think we're in a weird season where there are very few teams that are completely out of it right now. There are a ton of teams in the mix, which obviously at that point leads to a lot of people interested in buying, but not a lot of teams selling. The intriguing part, though, is that a lot of the selling teams at the bottom of the standings, they're already done. Like, Chicago has Ryan Donato. That's basically it. I think San Jose is just done trading now. Like, they've done all their moves already. Nashville doesn't really have a lot of pieces reportedly that they're looking to sell off. The Ducks aren't really looking to sell by the sounds of it. The Penguins don't have a ton worth selling. You know what I mean? Like, you're looking at the teams in the bottom, you know, bottom 10 of the standings, and they've either already made their moves or they're just holding on to the assets that would kind of necessitate a big return. So you've got 4, 5, 6 teams right now looking to make adds, and there's not a lot of guys out there. So anybody with a pulse at this point seems like is going to garner a big time return. And so that, I think that's what it is. And it always changes year to year. Like, you know, and sometimes you see moves happen a month or two before the deadline. Sometimes it happens an hour before the deadline takes place. There's no real rhyme or reason. It's just each season is its own unique, different beast. But I think just at its core right now, it's just that there's very few legitimate options available by the sounds of things. And so there's a level of desperation around some of these teams that we got to do whatever it takes to get those guys. And I think that's why we're seeing some inflated prices for some of the names that are being bandied about right now. But it'll be interesting down the stretch here, because you are starting to see more teams make their moves or be eliminated in making moves. Like, now you would think Tampa Bay's done. Maybe New Jersey's done right now. But Toronto needs to make an answer. Winnipeg's been quiet so far. You have Vegas lurking in the background, just waiting to make a cold-blooded move, trading some kind of local legend for a 2% boost at winning the cup. You know what I mean? So I feel like that's a pretty good explainer of why the market is what it is right now. But I don't think it's a precursor to this is what it's going to be like moving forward for third liners, second line centers, top four D-men, et cetera.
Yeah, no, I'm kind of shocked at how, like, especially for now with the Yanni Gordon Bjorkstrand trade, it's like, ooh.
The funny thing, I don't think we can use Tampa as a barometer for what trade value is, because Julian Breeze was just like, picks mean nothing to me. I have no interest in holding, right? Like, Tanner Jeannot is traded for a draft class. Blake Coleman was traded for, like, was it 2 firsts for Coleman? It was a big package back. Like, he does not care about draft picks. Other teams do, so it's like, I don't know if we can really gain much from when Tampa Bay does a trade as opposed to when other teams do a trade. But it's worked out for them, right? Where they found a way to make it work, obviously, with the Lightning. We'll say no hot take here, but I do like this trade, Gordon Bjorkstrand, a little bit more than the Tanner Jeannot trade. Just a little bit more. I think it's in Tampa Bay's favor there. But thanks for the question there on the market and everything there. And we've got seconds to go before the 30-minute mark. And I believe one question left.
Yeah, one question left. And this one's probably going to be a quick one. This one comes from the Oracle.
Oh, okay.
But the Oracle wants to know, what playoff team would you use caution against adding anything at the deadline? You know, and I think he means more so. I think he means more so like contenders as opposed to like, you know, like the teams in the wild card spots.
Yeah. I don't think San Jose should add. I don't think Chicago. No. So basically, who should stand pat? I think it's Washington. 100. I agree. I think it is an easy question. I think, well, although the Devils, I mean, with the caveat now that it should be the Devils, but I would even say, like, I don't think Washington should look into giving up significant assets for guys right now. I think, like, it's just you're on a hell of a run. Normally, I'm not a big don't upset the chemistry or the vibes in the room. Like, to me, it's like just get talent will figure it out. Just get it in there. But I do think Washington right now is the great definition of they're more than the sum of their parts, right? Like, together it makes sense. Separately, you're like, no high-end talent necessarily, but like they're just performing like an absolute unit right now. But I just like get into the playoffs, see these guys in action again, and take it from there. Although, to be honest, now that New Jersey's seemingly out of the picture, like maybe you do dial up the aggression just a little bit. But I also think it's more process of elimination too. Like, I think Toronto is insane not to take a big swing with the situation. I mean, just points at their entire situation. Florida already has. Tampa already has. I would like to see Detroit make an addition, make a push there. I think Columbus, same sort of a boat. And then you look at the other teams that are in there. I mean, Carolina's already made the biggest splash possible out of all the teams. I think Washington's the one where it's like, maybe like just tinker, get some depth in there. And then when you see these guys with the target on their back come playoff time, I think that gets you a better sense of what they're like come the offseason. And then maybe you can make a bigger swing here or there. But I like Washington's mix. I like their group. Let it roll, baby. Let it roll and see if it lands on seven.
Well, and I might be misremembering this, but it wasn't the only addition when the Caps won the Cup. I believe it was just Michael Kempney, right?
That's I know. I was going to say the same thing, that they would go big, go big, go big, and then they just tinkered and it worked. Maybe Devontae Smith-Pelly, although I don't know if he was with them at the start of it. But I mean, your overall point is right there. Like, maybe it's just in the Washington DNA to tinker and then enjoy the ticker tape parade, if you know what I mean there. That was awful. What an unfortunate way to end this episode. But that's what we've got to do here. We appreciate all the questions. Love the proposals. Love everybody's thoughts. It's always great chatting with you guys. And, I mean, what better time to do so right in and around the NHL trade deadline. So hope you guys had some fun here. And we'll get set for the fallout of the deadline when we get into our next episode next Thursday. Until then, though, thank you so much for tuning into this episode of the Hockey Mailbag. As always, appreciate getting to hang out with you beauties. Make sure to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. And if you want to be a part of the podcast, just send your questions to hockeymailbag@gmail.com or to me on Twitter @Brandon_Rewicki. Like I said, we're back at it next week, Thursday morning, talking about, again, all the moves that did or didn't happen at the trade deadline and the final 20 games of the NHL regular season. So make sure to get ready and check in on that next week. Until then, though, I'm your host, Brandon Rewicki, alongside the question master, Tyson Rewicki, and we look forward to talking puck with you guys real soon.